Anybody make a New Year's resolution? I love words and studying them and looking them up. And I looked up the word resolution. And oddly enough, now I may have an old Webster's dictionary, but there was like 9 definitions of resolution. And not a one of them had anything to do with the new making a New Year's resolution. Or even the definition had anything to do with it. Like, I read it several times. Those little, tiny little print, you know. Number one. Nothing about making resolutions. And when I'm saying making them, even the word being defined as something that would be defined as making a resolution. You know, resolutions were like, you know, when you come to a conclusion, it's a resolution, or a will that you make. And I thought, oh, there it is. That's your will to do something. But that was even talking about last will and testament. It was also talking about committees making a will and a resolution, you know. And I thought, gee, I wonder where that came from. And so I decided I'd look up resolve, you know, and there it was, you know, there coming to a, oh, not resolve, resolute, I'm sorry. So there was this little tiny definition that could be applied to making a resolution, but not in the resolution. And oddly enough, the word that I was looking for was resolve in the definition. And there it was, in resolute, having a resolve. And I'm going to talk to you about having a resolve. So I think it would be more appropriate to say a New Year's resolution. I not only love words, I even like to make them up occasionally. You know? Yeah. Oh, what a web. Okay, let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for your word. And I pray in Jesus' name that you just let me release it here. And we hear it and it touches our hearts and our minds and our beings. And we become closer to you, that we know you richer, deeper, more precious. And that we be closer to being conformed by your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, I want to talk to you about New Year's, you know. And before we go into some things that are new, and none of them New Year's, more there's more like New Days, which is every day is a new day because this is the day the Lord hath made, and he's never made it before. You know, did you know he made time for man? How many of you know what God was doing before he created the earth? Nothing. He didn't have the time. That's a time joke. Not a timely joke, but a time joke. Okay, first we're going to look at something here that's it's kind of interesting about new things. This is in Ecclesiastes. And by the word Ecclesiastes comes from the Greek word that is Ecclesiastes. Now, I know that the Old Testament is written in Hebrew, but the word Ecclesiastes comes from a Greek word, which is Ecclesiastes, you know. And it means the preacher or the words of the preacher, like this begins. But it means the preacher, all right? And so it says, and it has the last part of the word, the preacher, contained the congregation. In other words, it wasn't just a guy, but it says a guy had an audience, all right? And so it says, the words of the preacher, the son of David, king in Jerusalem. Vanity of vanities, saith the preacher, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. And the word vanity means simple, it means empty. And more specifically, it means empty of God. Vanity, vanity. All his vanity. It means empty of God. Vain means empty of God. And what's a kind of irony, a vain person is full of themselves. So that's what it means. Vain means being full of yourself and empty of God. That's one of my favorite, in my opinion, statements of desire of humility is by John the Baptist. It had a double meaning when he said this. One of the meanings that he had was, my ministry should diminish and his ministry will increase. The Old Testament ministry will decrease and the New Testament ministry would increase. But what he said when he saw Jesus coming is he says, you know, behold the Lamb of God which takes away the sins of the world. And he says, he must increase while I must decrease. And that is in the individual's life is the most beautiful. You want to have a resolution or have a resolve. It means he must increase in our lives while we decrease in our lives. What profit hath a man of all his labor which he taketh under the sun? Remember that statement, under the sun, S-U-N, the sun that shineth. One generation passes away, another generation comes, but the earth abides forever. That's not exactly true, but we'll get to that in a minute. The word of God is true, but it's true with some understanding. Let's put it that way. The sun also rises and the sun goes down and hasteneth to his place where he arose. The wind goeth toward the south and turneth about into the north. It whirleth about and continually. The wind returneth again according to its circuits. All the rivers run to the sea, yet the sea is not full. It is an interesting thing, but long before science knew that water evaporated, went up into the heavens, and rained down the earth, it was stated in the Old Testament on a couple of occasions that the water rises and it returns to the earth, and there's a cycle there. Long before science, the science community knew it, the Word of God knew it. It says, all the rivers run to the sea, and yet the sea is not full, unto the place from whence the rivers come, thither they return again. In other words, they're running the sea, but it's not. Why? Because it's evaporating, and it goes back, and it rains, and there's a cycle. All things are full of labor. Man cannot utter it. The eye is not satisfied with seeing. Right now, he's getting into the natural dimension of life. Life under the sun. You know, the eye is never satisfied enough. One of the three characteristics of all sin is lust of the eyes, right? Lust of, or the lust of the senses, to be more specific, you know. Because it says the eye's not satisfied with seeing, and the ear's not filled with hearing. There's never enough to satisfy. You always want more and more and more. One time a young man asked a very successful CEO of a company who was very, very wealthy, and he says, how much money do you have to have before you're satisfied? He says, more, never enough. There's never enough. The thing that hath been, it is that which shall be. Did you see in the news that the ISIS or ISIL, however you want to pronounce it, is bringing up generations of radical Islamics that are going to be part of the holy jihad, and they have mothers, women that are going to be that are made to have children, and the children are being brought up, and they're being taught how to be radical jihadist. Did you see that in the papers? And some of the people are like so shocked, because mainly it's because of the social media, because things that were going on are more and more being made known to everybody. But there's a couple people that have said, like Oliver North, for example, says, That's nothing new. That's not new. There's nothing new about that. And they started naming off all the other ones that were doing it all along and has been doing it for thousands of years in many respects. The thing that hath been, it, that which shall be, and that which is done is that which shall be done. And there's no new thing under the sun. Do you see that? There's no new thing under the sun. All right. So that's the end of the message. We're going to talk about new things, right? Well, there isn't any new thing, right? Am I right? Is there anything whereof it may be said, see, this is new? Yeah. It hath been already of old time, which was before us. You know? You say, this is new. No, it's been done. It's already been done. It's already been said. It's already been worked on. There is no remembrance of former things, neither shall there be any remembrance of the things which are to come. With those that shall come after. You know, there, in other words, it's all been done. All right? Now, we'll stop with that. We're going to go on to the next one in a minute. Now, the key to Ecclesiastes, all right, is that it is a book about wisdom under the sun. S-U-N. What does that mean? It means earthly wisdom. It means wisdom that that mankind has achieved and accomplished and learned. And that's why he starts off. Vanity, vanity. It's all a vain. It's just all a bunch of vain stuff. If you take God out of the picture, if you take God out of the equation, it's just a bunch of worth waste of time. All right? And there's nothing new under the sun. And it's all vain. It's all empty. It doesn't mean there's not anything new. It just means there's nothing new that is of the earth. But of God, there are many things that are new. And now we're going to, well, before we looked at these scriptures, let's look at the scriptures first, and then we'll look at this. Okay, this is Lamentations, very famous segment of scripture. Lamentations itself means weeping, lamenting. All right. It's written by Jeremiah, and basically it is lamenting over the condition of Israel and the consequences of that condition. And he laments over that, and he's weeping over that. Jeremiah was called Jeremiah the weeping prophet. All right. And it says, it is because of the Lord's mercies. It is because of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. Amen to that. You know that? We would be consumed if it wasn't because of God's mercies. Right? Because of his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. We're going to stop with that one verse. I was going to go on, but I'm going to stop. I want to read to you out of my little fun book here that I like so much called Then Sings My Soul. And I've got to put glasses on for this. I like shirts with two pockets. You know, I always need pockets. They don't make dress shirts with two pockets. Matter of fact, sometimes they make dress shirts with no pockets. What kind of person? Pockets. I say pockets. I love that word, pockets. You know, saw a sermon. I don't know if Harry remembers this sermon that Bob Mumford preached in Mobile, Alabama about pockets. Do you remember that? It's about the kingdom of God. He was also talking about the nature of man and sin and everything. And he had this suit on, and he had a, you know, pockets down here and pockets in there, and he had pockets in here and pockets over here, you know, in his pants, his trousers, you know. And he was like, he says, This isn't my best impersonation of Bob Mumford. But how many have heard Bob Mumford before? Good. So the rest of you won't know if I'm doing a very good job or not. The rest of you, the one that have, well, I always thought he sounded a lot like Soupy Sales. Most of you don't know who that is either, so it doesn't matter. But Bob Mumford, and I've told you this before, is Billy Graham's favorite Bible preacher. And so he said that. He says, I like Bob Mumford. And Bob Mumford is just fun to listen to. And he would say stuff like, he says, and by the way, impersonation is the highest form of flattery and, respect, right? I got a suit on, and I got a bunch of pockets in it. See, I got this pocket inside here, and I got one inside, one over here. I got one down here, one. I got pockets in my pants, and I was just going to tell you that you can come up and you can look in this pocket over here. Or you can look inside this one over here. Or you can look back. You can look in any pocket except for this one right in here. You can't look in that pocket. Now tell the truth. There isn't any other pocket you're interested in looking in right now, is it? Except for this one right here. That's the nature of sin. Who said what? Who said something funny? Your mercy, O Lord, is in the heavens. Your faithfulness reaches unto the clouds. Psalm 36:5. I'm going to be merciful right now. If he can be merciful, I can be merciful. 1923. The author of this hymn, which is Thomas Obadiah. Boy, he's got a nice little Christian name. Chisholm. That's right, Chisholm. Was born in a log cabin in Kentucky. Kentucky. Boy, that's a beautiful state. Have you ever been to Kentucky? I passed through Kentucky. I went through Sacramento, Kentucky. Anybody ever hear that? It's like Sacramento's California, right? No, but I went through Sacramento. Beautiful, beautiful state. Did you see in the news about that little 7-year-old girl? Yeah. Oh my God. How many of you saw that? How many didn't see it? Oh, wow. This Cessna twin engine plane by this family was coming back from Florida after a vacation, crashed in Kentucky. There were four of them on the plane. Three of them, the parents were killed, one of the children. I think the other child, I'm not sure what the other child was, one of the, and then there was a 7-year-old girl. Plane was upside down. She got her way out of the plane, checked on her parents, tried to shake them. They're hanging there upside down. And they were dead. In the woodlands of Kentucky. Kentucky, that's a dangerous place. There's a tree in Kentucky, and I'm not making this up. It's about 8 foot up. There's a sign on the tree that says, Dan'l Boone, kilt a bar, clear up to thar. They got some big bars around there. For you Yankees, that's bear, by the way. You don't understand what bars are. Or thar, that's there. There, okay, gotcha. Anyway, she walks through woodlands, thorny bushes. Talk about being bloody. Her face was bloody. She broke some bones, a wrist, a couple of ribs. 7-year-old girl. And she finds the one house in the whole area. I think it was a store or something in the house where a guy had a store and had a light on, and about the only house. He says that whole area is a residential area for people that live there in the summertime. In the wintertime, they're, you know, like snowbirds. So there's nobody in there, but his house, he's the only one around. He says, if she'd have went in any other direction, she walks to this thing and she knocks on the door, and he answers the door and he looks at her and she says, can I come in? Would you help me? And then she tells him the whole story. Wow, man, that's just amazing. That's, God must have a plan for her life. Okay. In the age of Kentucky, at the age of 16, he started teaching school. And he came to Christ at the age of 27 under the ministry of the evangelist H.C. Morrison. But Chisholm's health was unstable, and he alternated between bouts of illness and gainful employment, in which he did everything from journalism to insurance to evangelistic work. Through all the ups and downs, he discovered new blessings from God every morning. The third chapter of Lamentations, chapter 3, became precious to him. His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. You know that song, Great is Thy Faithfulness? You know, okay. Oh God, my Father, there is no shadow of turning with Thee. Thou changest not, Thy compassions, they fail not. As Thou hast been, Thou forever will be. Great is Thy faithfulness. Great is Thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, Thy hands hath provided. Great is Thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Isn't that beautiful? The person who wrote the music to that was named Runyon, by the way. Thomas later admitted that no dramatic story was behind the writing of Great Is Thy Faithfulness. His whole life was a dramatic story, right? While serving the Lord in Finland, New Jersey, Thomas sent several poems to his friend, musician William Runyon, who was so moved by this one that he prayed earnestly for special guidance to composing the music. Runyon was in Baldwin, Kansas at the time, and the hymn was published in 1923 in Runyon's private song pamphlets. It went rather slowly for several years. Thomas recalled then Dr. William Houghton, a Moody Bible Institute in Chicago, discovered it and would say in chapel, well, I think we shall have to sing Great is Thy Faithfulness. It became an official theme song for the Institute. When Houghton died, it was sung at his funeral. Still, it remained relatively unknown until popularized around the world by George Beverly Shea and the choir at the Billy Graham Crusades. Thomas spent his retirement years in the Methodist home. Anyway, it was used in the Crusades after that. That's became a theme song, and one of the theme songs in the Crusade. There were other ones as well. I think we were just singing one while ago. What was that song that we were, the hymn we were just singing? I surrender all. Yeah, that's another song that you could hear at Billy Graham Crusades. So, God's mercies are new every morning. I submit to you that that's why every other thing that's new from God comes from that revelation. Okay? Now, there are some scriptures, and I'm going to let's back up just a second to show you the difference between under the sun, S-U-N, and under the sun, S-O-N, okay? Under the sun, S-U-N, is of this world. It can be good, it can be bad, but it's kind of like it's not necessarily of God, all right? And here's an example in that same chapter we were just looking at. Verse 18, it says this, "For in much wisdom is much grief, and he that increaseth knowledge increaseth sorrow." All right? That's a strange verse. That's in Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 18. "He that increaseth wisdom increaseth is much grief, and he that increaseth knowledge is much sorrow." On the other hand, in Proverbs 3, it says, "Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof fine gold. It is more precious than rubies," or "she is more precious than rubies, and all the things you can desire are not worthy to be compared with her." Well, how can one verse of scripture says, "In much wisdom is much grief, and he that increaseth knowledge increaseth sorrow"? And the other scripture says, "Happy is the man that findeth wisdom." Well, the difference is between S-U-N and S-O-N. The one under S-U-N, if you read the verses before there, it's talking about knowing life from life's experiences and experiencing them, you know. Going back to the eyesight is never full, the ears are never full, you know, learning all about the world. And he says, the more you learn about the world, the more grief you have. Because what? Vanity, vanity, all is vanity. But the wisdom of God, and one of my best, you know, I know Bill Gothard's definition of wisdom is having the ability to see and respond to life's situations from God's point of reference. That's his definition of wisdom. Good definition. I like it. Having the ability to see and respond to life's situations from God's point of reference. That's the wisdom of God. The one I like is that in Ephesians it says, be not uncircumspectly, but as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. So what is wisdom in that verse? Understanding what the will of the Lord is. Be not unwise, but instead understand what the will of the Lord is. So wisdom is understanding the will of the Lord. The more wisdom you have from God, the happier you are. You know, it's more precious than silver and gold and rubies. The more wisdom you have on this of this world is not so. It is vanity, vanity, all is vanity. So you see the difference between, okay, now we see some differences, or we've already seen some differences between there's nothing new under the sun, and yes, there is under the S-O-N, and that his mercies are new every morning. Let's look at these two verses. 2 Corinthians 5, is that the next verse? 5:17. "If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature." Most translations say he's a new creation. "Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." You got that? All things have become new. If any man be in Christ. Now, does that mean all things? No. It means all things of God. Do you see? How do I know that? How do I know that this is talking? Because not all things under the sun, S-U-N, is new. It's all things because there's nothing new under the S-U-N. But all things of God under the S-O-N. All right, now let's look at the other verse and show you the contrast here. Romans 12, verse 1. I beseech you, brethren, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. Whoa, there it is. By the mercies of God. That's one of the, this is one of the verses where I say it's first, the first thing is first. To have wisdom from God, to have anything from God, you have to first come to the complete understanding that His mercies are new every morning. Isn't that beautiful? I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies. See, here it is. In order to be able to present your body a living sacrifice of God, you have to have a handle on the fact that His mercies are new every second. Hello? All right. That you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. You know, presenting your body as a sacrifice doesn't sound very reasonable. But once you understand His mercies are endure forever and His mercies are new every morning, then it's a little different. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by what? The renewing of your mind. So you see there that our minds are not new, but they can be renewed. You can be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You find it interesting that in order to have your mind transformed, you have to present your body a living sacrifice? Somebody say amen. That's good news, isn't it? At least, it may not be good news, but it sure is reasonable. That's another thing. You talk about new. You know, there's, you know what good news means? It means news. It's something good that's new. And his new is, the good news is Jesus was crucified, died, and buried, and raised from the dead. The gospel of Jesus Christ means good news. Be not conformed to this world. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. In order to have your mind renewed again, you need the mercies of God is new every morning. Hallelujah. Okay, let's go on to the other scripture. This is pretty cool. I write no new commandment unto you. This is in 1 John, chapter 2, verse 7. I write no new commandment unto you. So, he's about to give you a commandment that's not new, all right? And he says this, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment which you have seen from the beginning. So, it's an old commandment. So, what's this old commandment? The old commandment is the word which you have heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write unto you. Which thing is true in him and in you because the darkness is past and the true light now shines. He that saith he is of the light and hates his brother is in darkness. Even that's the new commandment, by the way, loving your brother, loving one another. And what is he, why does he say? It's an old commandment. You've heard it from the beginning, but it's a new commandment. What is he saying there? He's saying it's the word of God. It's from the old. But it's brand new because his word is new every morning. His mercies are new every morning. So is his word new every morning. It's alive every single day. That's why God is I am. You know, I know he says he was, is, and is to come, you know, the same yesterday, today, and forever. But the truth of the matter is God is always I am. He's brand new every day. The outward man perishes. But the inner man is renewed day by day. This is maybe old and it's perishing, but the spirit of me is brand new every single solidarity. Why? Because his mercies are new every day. The gospel is new every day. He that saith in his line is in. All right, now we're going to go to some other new things, and we'll end with those. In Revelation. Is Revelation next on your list there, Nate? All right, let's just look at some of these verses in Revelation, all right? These are some things that are going to be new, all right? And it says, he that hath an ear. Oh, by the way, when we get to 5:2, that's a mistake. It should be 5:8-9, okay, Nate? He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. To him that overcometh will I grant to eat, and will I give him to eat and the hidden manna, excuse me, not and, eat of the hidden manna, and I will give him a white stone. Did you know this is the verse of scripture which white stone is named from? Our band? Anybody ever wonder when you see white stone, what in the world did that mean? Do we have our worship team up here? It's called white stone. You ever wonder what? I have to admit, I forgot about this verse. And the first time I said, what do they call themselves white stone for? This is the scripture. Am I right? Amen? All right. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I grant. Do we have a kind of a prophetic thing about overcoming? If he that overcometh today, I heard something like that. To him that overcometh will I grant to eat with of the hidden manna, and I will give him a white stone. And in the stone, a brand new, spanking new name, written which no man knoweth, saving he that receiveth it. In other words, the only ones that know this brand new name, how many of you know it's important? Names are important. All right? He's going to give you a brand new name. Hallelujah. Are you looking forward to that? And a white stone. All right. Let's look at the next verse. All right. He that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out, and I will write upon him the name of my God. All right. I will write upon him the name of my God, the name of the city of my God, which is a new Jerusalem. There's something new. It's going to be a new Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name. Now, a while ago he said, I'm going to give you a new name. Now he says, this is my name I'm going to write upon you. How many want to, is that okay with you? Well, maybe you don't care. I don't know. I like it. All right, let's go to the next verse. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors. What are the golden vials full of odors? The prayers of the saints. It says the prayers of the saints. It also talks about the works of the saints being a sweet-smelling fragrance to God. All right? And he says, and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed unto, excuse me, I got backwards. I didn't think we'd finish the verse before. So let's go back to that. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb of God, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. Now the next one. And they sung a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, and thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by the blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. So how many of you are looking forward to singing a new song? Hallelujah. I'm looking forward to singing a new song. Talk about some New Year's resolutions. All right, next verse. And they sung, as it were, a new song before the throne and before the four beasts and the elders. And no man could learn that song but the 144,000, and which were, you know, there's going to be a song that's sung by us someday that no man's ever heard before, ever known. Maybe you don't think you're going to be a part of the 144,000. I don't know. I don't even mind if I'm just there listening to them. All right, next verse, what is this, chapter 21 now? Okay. I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away. That's why I said, where he says, but the earth lasts forever in Ecclesiastes. Remember that? Yeah, that was still under the sun. He didn't have the whole story there. You see what I mean? There's a new earth and a new heaven it's going to be. And he says, and the first earth were passed away. See, so it's going to be gone. And there were no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And he sat upon the throne, and he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. Now there's a new day to look for when all things are brand new. Everything is brand spanking new. And it's new every second for eternity. Thank you, Lord. Let's pray. Thank you, God, for loving us and providing all things new. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I'm not going to get to that last verse that I had there. I'll just explain it real quick. I got some explaining to do, Lucy. Excuse me. We make New Year's resolution. When I looked up that word resolution, all those definitions didn't say anything about making these kinds of resolutions that we make. Until you look up the word resolute, and there it was. And one of those words is resolve. And I instantly thought of something I had read out of my Bible commentary, Scofield Bible commentary. There's a verse of scripture where Jesus was talking when they were talking about John the Baptist having been beheaded and stuff. And Jesus is talking about John the Baptist and talk about a great man he was and a great prophet he was. And there was no prophet greater on the earth than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he. Well, there's a verse that kind of like takes you back. I don't know about you, but did you ever read that and say, what do you mean? Greatest prophet that has ever been born to man is John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than him. Why? He might come up with several reasons, but I think that the one reason is simply this. He's simply stating that under the old covenant, which John the Baptist represented, even the greatest doesn't even compare to the least under the new covenant. Now, that's what I think he means, all right? But then he shares a scripture that even the people who have comment on it, they're like, what is this? And you might know this verse. It says, from the days of the old prophets even unto now to John the Baptist, the kingdom of God suffer violence. All right? And the kingdom of heaven suffer violence. And the violent take it by force. Wow. That kind of sounds like maybe I have our only holy jihad. You know, take it by force. There was a time in church history where I think they tried that. That didn't work. That doesn't work. No, what does that mean? Well, Scofield gives a lot of possibilities of what that means. You know, like maybe it was just like the kingdom of God is suffering underneath violence, and the violent tried to take it away from them by force, which, you know, there's just so many. He talks about how that may be an external thing, or maybe it's an internal thing. All right? And then he goes on to say this. You talk about New Year's resolution, resolve, all right? Because he says this. The kingdom of God belongs to those who take it, who reach out for it, who search after it with resolve to the point whereas describing the emotional connection or the emotional determination, you could describe it as violent. And I instantly thought of a Hebrew word for rejoice in the Old Testament. What are the Hebrew? There's so many words, samach, and then there's gol, G-U-W-L, gol, all right? And gol means to rejoice, and it actually means to spin around under the influence. And this is in the Strong's Concordance dictionary, and I've always kind of like added my own little as if, all right? But in the Strong's, it says this word for word. Gul means to spin around in the joy of the Lord. I always want to add as if. It doesn't say as if. It says under the influence of violent emotion. That means intense. Remember when we were talking about intensity a couple of weeks ago? Intense. That means really giving yourself. And that's what this whole thing about violent, the kingdom of God, it belongs to those who are so determined to have it that their determination could be looked upon as it being violent, the emotional, you know, status. You see that? So you want to make a New Year's resolution. Make a New Year's resolution that I'm going to get a hold of God. You know, one of the names of God, one of the names in the Old Testament is Israel. Israel is what Jacob's name was given after he had wrestled with God. All right. And the word that words frequently have multiple meanings. In other words, different meanings depending on which connotation they're being used in. All right. And one of the definitions of Israel is Prince of God. Right? He was Jacob, the supplanter, and then he became Israel, the Prince of God. Do you know what another definition of Israel is? One who fights with God. One who wrestled with God. Because he wrestled with the angel and he ended up with a broken leg on it. You know, he wouldn't let the angel go until he says, until you've blessed me. That's what this is talking about, that kind of resolve. I'm gonna get a hold of God and I'm not gonna let go until you bless me. You know, until I've been touched by you. That's a New Year's resolution. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, again for loving us and your word. And I thank you that we can make these New Year's resolutions, and that's okay. But let us first think about putting you as the determination and the resolve and the resolute that we have in this new year, and that your mercies are new every morning. And that's true anytime, all the time, every day. In Jesus' name, amen.